Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rooted Deep. We're so glad to have you joining us today. And if you haven't joined us in a while, or you're just jumping on for the first time today, we are in the middle of a really exciting book study. It's called Experiencing God by Blackaby. It's been out for a long time. It's been out long enough to have several revisions and updated versions and study guides and all kinds of material. And so we're really glad you're joining us on this. Today is just going to be a fantastic discussion. And I'm really, really excited, Allison, for this one, because I think everything's kind of been leading up to, yes, last time we talked about action. Today it's just kind of like, okay, the rubber meets the road on this particular chapter and in this moment. Of are we going to adjust our lives to Christ and what he's having us to do? So I just think this is just such a great conversation and a pivotal moment in our decision making.
Yeah. And if you flip through the book, there's a word that will continue to jump up when you get to this chapter. And the word is obedience. Mm-hmm. And we've said it several times throughout this podcast, you know, throughout these different aspects. We talked about it last week and the week before. We really talked about, but this one, it's like it'll pop up almost every other sentence. And that's because Blackaby says it, you can't go with God and stay where you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of the reasons that we've talked about adjusting our plans before, adjusting our how do we adjust our life? And so many times we've been living our life wanting God to adjust to our plans, to our view, to our, what our plan, you know, what our plans are, what our will is. Or we just say, hey, God, here's a great idea. Please join in. And so we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about this in this chapter.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it may be a huge paradigm shift for you to think of it in the way that's actually truly spiritual and biblical. And that is, you know, Jesus said in Luke that if anyone wanted to follow him, if anybody wanted to come with him, they were going to have to, and he uses, I mean, these are not marketing, you know, he did not meet with his marketing director when he wrote this passage, right? Because, you know, normally if you want somebody to join up with your group and you want everybody to get excited, you're going to promote the most glamorous things at the front, right. You know?
Yeah.
But Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, this is the deal. You're going to deny yourself. Mm-hmm. You're going to take up your cross and you follow me.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose, you know, and Jesus, then he goes on and says, if you want to save your life, you lose it. And and in the economy of God, it just works so differently than the way we're wired and influenced to believe that it works on this earth.
Right.
Because, you know, normally it's, hey, put my desires first, put my things first. And, you know, and fight for first, and then I'll get what's coming and I'll get what's due. And, I'm in our selfishness and all those kind of things. And Jesus says, no, the key to successful walk with Christ and a life that's full of abundance is actually through denying yourself.
Right.
And that I'm telling you, Allison, that really strikes a blow against what our minds and our hearts want to believe is the way forward.
Yeah. And this, it's interesting because, and maybe people that know that I'm a missionary, this might be one of those reasons why people tend to erroneously, put missionaries on a pedestal because, you know, and I thought they shouldn't, we're just don't, but, and Reba knows this cause she's my friend. She's like, you're nobody special. Absolutely not. I am not.
No,
nobody
you're
special.
Somebody special, but you are a hot mess at times.
But okay, I am such a hot mess. Yeah. Let's just say it. But I think people tend to, oh, you've left your country. You've left your comfort zone. But even within our team, it was almost like we were having a missionary kind of a level off the other, a few weeks ago. I was with a group of women, all missionaries, and we were trying to one up or one down each other. Like, no, you're a real missionary because you live without air conditioning. No, you're a real missionary because you don't have a dryer. No, you're a real missionary because you homeschool your children, you know? And I mean, it's so it's just different, you know, different levels of, and so we were like, I want to be level one missionary, but I really am only because I get to go to Krispy Kreme every couple of weeks in the capital, or because I get, you know, I get to go to the beach every week.
Oh,
you
yeah, you
know,
don't even,
that's,
you're not even, you don't even count. I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
I'm not,
no.
Am I suffering? And so people tend to think about it, you know, kind of in those terms. They think about, okay, if I'm walking with God, do I have to leave, you know, and do I have to leave this or leave that or suffer through this? And so I think some people really, they tend to think of it as kind of the big ones, the big
mm-hmm.
moments of the missionaries who leave their country, or a, you know, somebody who takes on, you know, takes a job cut or a pay cut in this or this, that, or the other. And Blackaby gives some of these examples, right? He gives examples of when God tells you to do something, there is an adjustment, there is a movement, but it's all based on obedience. What is God telling you to do? And are you willing to not just step, because we talked about that last chapter, not just step into what he wants you to do, but there's going to be some change, some leaving, some maybe, you know, suffering, some, you know, there's going to be something that is left behind when you're stepping forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we talked about trust, what it looks like to trust God last week when we kind of discussed this crisis of belief, because that was kind of, you know, we're going to get to this point, if we're going to join God in his work, that there's going to be a crisis of belief, this decision point kind of moment. And then we get to this point where, okay, now we've decided to obey God, and now we have to make adjustments to our lives and the way we think about life or the way we do life. And I think the tendency again is, yes, it's going to be awful. And, you know, that's just serving Jesus. It's just awful. It's just, I mean, you don't get to do anything fun, and it's terrible. And you know, you're going to have to, and I genuinely don't think that if you were to, in fact, I know because of what scripture says, that if you were to interview these people who are listed in the pages of scripture that we saw make a massive adjustments to follow after the heart of God, you will see that their lives are actually fuller, richer, and they are better off because of those decisions.
Right.
And I think it comes back to the principle, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
You don't know how you'll feel when you make this adjustment. You think you know. You think it's going to be awful. You think if I follow after God, we're going to, you know, we're just going to be poor and it's going to be terrible and we're going to have to dress our kids funny. And, you know, it's just, that's kind of the mindset, is that there's this painted bleak picture. And yet what I think is incredible is that we see that God says, you know what, when you follow me, I know you already. I created you. I made you and I wired you for purposes and intentions. And I know where you're going to be the happiest, find the most joy, find the most peace. I know what's going to bring you the greatest fulfillment of life. And I'm going to put you on the pathway to finding those things. But it's just not always going to be painted in the way you think. Right. And you know, you can be on a yacht and still be in a storm.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So let's just say that no matter where you are in life, whether you stay put or you move, whether you adjust your life or you don't, there's still going to be problems in life. You're still going to have crisis. You're still going to go through difficult days. Those don't go away. But what does change for us is this great passion and fulfillment in our lives, this joy that's promised by God, this peace that passes understanding, all of these things that God promises in his word, those things come to us as we adjust our lives to the calling of God on our lives and we pursue hard after him. And so therefore I think, you know, when we understand this fully, it's like, why wouldn't I do this?
Right. I've told the story, and I generally tell this story to children. Sometimes it's funny because when Gary and I go to a church somewhere, they always automatically assume, oh, the missionary wife, she's going to love talking to the 5-year-old class. Let's send her down there. And it's like, but my ministry is not the easiest to explain to a group of 5-year-olds.
No,
you know?
It's not. Yeah.
You know, imagine you go to sleep and you wake up and your mommy's not there, you know,
right.
and
yeah,
because she's out on the street. And so I, but generally, so what I do is I ask them questions about, you know, but one of the things that I do honestly share with them is when I became a missionary, when I was a kid, my biggest thing was knowing I would have to leave my grandparents. I loved our family. I loved my family. And I knew that, you know, we had been living with my grandparents as we were raising support. I did not want to leave them behind, and I didn't want to live in a country where we couldn't visit them at Christmas or whatever. Yeah. And but that was where God had called us, and so we were living in a foreign country. And but amazingly, because of who God is and what He knows is important to me, and I truly believe this, there was a woman in our neighborhood in the Dominican Republic, and she was blind, and her name is Ernestina. And we used to go, mom and I used to take turns. Oh, it's your turn to go get your Ernestina and walk her to the church because she's blind. So we have to walk her. Okay. And mom and I, neither of us are really good with leading for blind people because we would be running and hurt into walls, accidentally dropping her off curves. I mean, it's, and mom tells you the story. Poor Ernestina still trusted us to at least get her to church. She might have a couple of extra bruises, or, you know, but we still got her to church. but anyway, the funny thing was, if mom brought her to church, that she would sit her in, you know, sit her down in an aisle, and I would walk by, and Ernestina, because she was blind, she could still know it was me just by my steps, by the way I walked. She could, she knew everybody. And I feel like, she would have her eyes would be closed, but she would open her arms so I would go and hug her because she knew I was walking right by. And so I tell this story to children because I was like, I was so afraid to leave my grandparents behind in the States, but didn't God give me an interesting replacement? Not replacement, just an addition to my family by allowing this into my life, by allowing Ernestina, who loved me so much, could know my steps, you know, when I walk by, even being a blind person. I think that that's one of the ways that God, because when you're willing to leave something behind, you're not, like you said, God's math doesn't math. It doesn't add up, because instead of I didn't leave a family, all of a sudden I have double. How does that math work in the real book? But it took leaving something behind to gain something else, or it takes adjusting and moving something or dropping something or losing something to see, no, God has something better or more or different, or, you know, because now you're in God's will. And so, like you said, His math never adds up humanly speaking.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as Blackaby said, you can't stay where you are and go with God. And He gives this incredible list in this book. Yeah. And it's just a simple list.
Right.
But, you know, Noah couldn't continue life as usual and still build an ark. You know, Abraham couldn't stay where he was at in Ur and be the father of many nations. You know, Moses couldn't stay on the backside of the desert and lead the children out of Egypt. And the list just goes on and on and on of people who, you know, who came to a crisis of belief. Okay. We talked about last week. God, you know, and God is now calling them, leading them to step out and do something that is maybe different than where they were at the moment. Yeah. And now, okay, you've got to adjust your life. And sometimes that means starting something new. Sometimes that means stopping something that you're currently doing. I'll never forget, you know, as we stepped into Guatemala, I'm moving along and we're thinking about some things, and I'm sitting in a meeting and we're talking about some adjustments that Derek Moore is going to have to make in order to pick up Guatemala.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it hit me when it hit me for the first time that some of the things that we were currently doing, we were going to have to stop doing.
Yeah.
If we were going to pick up Guatemala.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I don't want to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't, wait a minute, can't we do both?
Yeah.
You know, and I remember for weeks trying to figure out, okay, how can we do both?
Yeah.
And finally coming to this, every time running into these roadblocks, we can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to stop. And you know, and I remember, you know, I mean, well, you know, even one of those even impacted you, because we used to lead so many women to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, we're not going to be able to sustain that plus do this. Mm-hmm. And
right.
I was like, but I love the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
My half of my heart is in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. How can I not go back to the Dominican Republic 10 times a year? You know, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And then that realization that I was going to have to adjust mm-hmm. my life and what we currently were doing ministry wise to something different.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
Right.
There were lots of pieces that I really, really didn't like about it. But it was one of those things where going forward, it was the right thing to do. And, and I think that when we start to surrender those things to God and say, you know what, there's the teaching in Proverbs, about the seasons. It's also mentioned in Psalms. It's mentioned in Ecclesiastes. But there's seasons.
Yeah.
And even our key passage for this study, Psalm 1, talks mm-hmm. about bringing forth fruit in its season, right?
Yeah.
And I think there are seasons for things in our lives. And we move through one season that we maybe love. And maybe, you know, it's, if you're a mom, maybe it was the baby stage and now you've got this teenager and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, or maybe it was, you know, a different place that you lived or a thing that you did or whatnot. And I just think there's seasons of life where it's, we love that season.
Right.
And we had such a great time there, but we can't be nostalgic and hold on to that season, or we can't move forward and go with God into the next season that he has for us. And God is going to go, and this is what kicks me every time into motion. God is going to go forward whether I go with him or not.
Right. Yeah.
So exactly. I'm either going to be left behind
mm-hmm.
because I refuse to move.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go forward with God. And that kicks me in action every single time and causes mm-hmm. me to say, okay, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to adjust because I so don't want to be left behind with God moving forward.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes we try, like you said, we try to drag everything about our life. You know, we try to just grab everything we can and drag it with us. Yeah. But what does Hebrews say? Lay aside every weight. I just, I don't know if you've seen the series, All the Light We Cannot See. It's a series on Netflix. So it's just a beautiful story of a family.
I've read the book. Yeah.
The book, right?
I read the book all the way. Yeah, I did read the book, but I have not seen the series.
But you remember when everybody's dragging everything out of Paris to get to safety, and they're having to leave stuff behind, and he's trying to convince her to leave, you know, to leave the radio behind. And she's like, no, I'll leave everything else behind, but not this, you know, not the radio. And I highly recommend that, you know, seeing the series or reading the book. I need to read the book, but, it's one of those things when you think about all of the things, just like you said, God's moving us forward. So let's pack our entire house and let's pack all of our hobbies and all of our things and all of our wants and dreams that we have. And we're trying to move them. We're like, yeah, we'll try. And we're dragging it all along. And so we're trying to have both. Mm-hmm. But there are things that you have to adjust. There are things that you have to leave behind, or there's weight. And it's not weight, but when God moves you into the next thing, all of a sudden that is the heavy suitcase that you're trying to come with. Thinking about when you know, mom and dad said, okay, you can pack everything you want to take to the Dominican. You can pack anything that you want. It all has to fit into, at that time, it was 70 pounds. Thank goodness we had 70 pounds worth. I don't know if everybody remembers back in the day, you know, pre-9/11, where all of the weight, you know, could be 70 pounds in the suitcase and you could take two, you know, and now we're down to one measly little 50 pound suitcase. What all were we carrying? Like, have you thought about that? Like, that 70 pounds is a lot of stuff. Because now we're so used to carrying 50, right?
I know. Right. Yeah. We've invented those little squishable things that you can cram your clothes into and zip them closed. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So everything that I loved had to fit into two 70 pound suitcases. And so, but think about any time that we have to make a decision and move forward, after we've made that decision, the crisis of belief has happened. We've made the decision. We're going to follow God, but now we're trying to pack this, you know, Beverly Hillbilly style life and comfort that we've that we've had, or adjusting our, you know, taking all of our dreams. Yeah, I can still do God's plan, but also this and this and this and this, and that becomes a weight. And and that's not, you know, that's what, you know, Hebrews is talking about. Lay aside the sin, yes, but then there's also weight that needs to be taken off to get you prepared to continue to step forward in that path. And maybe it's time to pause and think, okay, what is a weight that I don't want to lose, or what is dragging me slower, or slowing me down from, you know, following? Cause like you said, God's moving, and he's invited us to join us. He's invited us on his path. Yeah. And we can't make that move because we don't want to get rid of all of these good things that we have in our life, but that have become weight.
Yeah, I think so. Because one of the things God's teaching me right now in my life is a total dependence on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, about the time that I feel like I really am totally dependent on God, mm-hmm. I realize I find another box of stuff, right, in my own life. It's like, oh no, I'm not. I still got all this stuff, you know, that I feel like I can pull out when I need to, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that I've been studying this year, the life of Elisha, and really have enjoyed my study with him and just walking through his life. And one of the things that actually Blackaby uses him as an illustration in this chapter as well. And it's one of the things that I just felt, it jumped out at me so strongly about Elisha. You know, so in short, Elisha is a farmer who is actually out in his fields, a large field, a large production place, obviously, because he's got 12, there's 12 yoke of oxen out in this field. And working. So obviously this is a big farm, big operation. They've just come out of drought, thanks to Elijah and 3.5 years of judgment of God upon the people. So obviously there's much to be done. And Elisha is out here as a farm boy doing his thing when he's approached by Elijah.
Yeah.
And he's, the mantle is tossed in his direction, and there's a decision to make. There's a crisis of belief. There it is. Mm-hmm. And it's a very humorous story in scripture. At least I think it is, because I don't know the mentality of where Elijah was at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because he just throws the mantle down and keeps walking. It's the strangest thing. There's no beautiful dialogue. There's no, you know, God told me to come and give you this, and would you like to follow me? There's none of that. There's just throwing the mantle down and walking on, to the point that Elisha has to pick the mantle up and chase the man of God down and say, I am going to follow you, but can I tell my family goodbye?
Yeah.
And Elijah makes this statement, and he goes, what have I done to you? And when you translate that into the Hebrew, when you look at what he's really asking, is he's really saying, it's up to you. Yeah. I'm not forced you to do anything. Yeah. I'm not this, you're not obligated. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, I don't care. Whatever you want to do, just, you know, whatever. Yeah. And what happens next really caught me in a powerful way in Elisha's story. Mm. Elisha goes back and takes the plow that he was plowing with and breaks it up, and it makes it into firewood. He takes the oxen that he was plowing with and kills them and makes a barbecue and invites everyone and basically throws a barbecue.
A bon voyage party.
Yeah. For himself, tells everybody goodbye. Mm-hmm. And in less than 24 hours later, he is pursuing Elijah.
Mm.
And there was a sense, and this is the word that came to me, there was a sense of urgency, you know, in his life. There was just this sense of urgency. I mean, you know, one minute he's a farm boy doing his thing and working the fields. And the next minute he is literally setting the past on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally took
There's
the
no
oxen
back.
I mean, everything about his former life. I mean, I don't know that he meant this in irony or as a picture, or he was just practically making a barbecue. But I mean, what a visual image of, okay, this is who I used to be. And now it's a sacrifice, and I'm now moving on to what I know God has for me. And he does it immediately. He does it in this quick 24-hour period. And I just, when I read it months and months and months ago and was studying it, it challenged my heart in so many ways. Do I live going about my current daily business, not knowing what God's going to bring in my life that day, and then watching God enter my life with something and bring something into my life And am I willing to adjust my life that quickly to what God has? And I'm willing to set what I loved and valued and thought was important in that moment, set it on fire and turn around and say, let's go do this. Right. And I'll be honest with you, Allison, there was a couple of days I had to chew on that because I'm not sure. There were things I loved.
Yeah.
I mean, there are parts of my ministry and things that I love, and I don't, and would I be willing to do that? And in my, you know, in my family and in my life, and God just kept really in some real personal, intimate ways in my life, which just like, okay, Reba, this is just this other area where I'm asking you, are you completely yielded here? Are you, are you willing to surrender? And because there's going to be moments like this in your life when I'm going to show up and I'm going to say, okay, let's go do this. And if you're not ready for that, you're gonna sit for weeks trying to decide if this is my will and praying about it and all this other kind of mess, and we're moving.
Exactly.
I just was like, oh my word. And I just wonder, Allison, do we live with this kind of urgency and this kind of, all right, Lord, I'm ready to follow you wherever you lead, wherever you go, at a moment's notice? I'm surrendered. I'm already, my life is already surrendered to you. So when you walk up, I don't have to decide whether I'm going to surrender or not. I'm already surrendered. I'm ready to go.
And, you know, and this brings up a really important point, and it's probably a parenthetical moment, but it's something that Gary and I had to do. And it's something that he continues to use this when we're ministering and talking to people who do want to be either in ministry or on the mission field or thing. And one of those things is he had to get rid of all of his student loans. He had to cancel. He had to get because he did. He knew that, you know, we don't know where we're when we first got married. You know, we put all our possessions together, obviously, but we also put all our debt together, you know, and it's like, okay, what do we have? You know, what do we don't have? And so one of the things that he has really encouraged everybody to do in ministry, especially the young ones. Hey, you know, do your best to, as you're now, do your best to pay down debt as quickly and as fast as you can, because when that move comes, that, you know, the debt's not bad, the debt's not a sin, but it is a weight and it is a slow. So when we're talking about urgency and we're talking about how, hey, I really feel like the Lord is calling me to do this or to do that, but yet I have to, you know, and that's one of those things. So parenthetical moment, if we're talking about, you know, we didn't, this ministry, you know, this book is not necessarily a financial peace book, but at the same time, when we're talking about the plans of when God wants us to move, what are some things that could weigh us down? And that would be, you know, something physical, you know, dreams, hopes, whatever, plans, relationships, but also, and so, and the other thing is when you remember the boat burning that happened, I think this has happened several times throughout history when people have moved to the new world, come to the new world, Alexander, you know, going to
Cortez, I think Cortez is the famous one.
Yeah, he's the famous one. There's, you know, and then I think Alexander the Great as well. And there were others who also, when you get to the other shore where you're supposed to be, you turn around, you burn those boats because now there's no going back. And that's really dramatic, obviously.
It is dramatic,
you know,
right?
It's so dramatic. But it's just like, you know, just like Elisha in scripture and, you know, and Peter leaving the nets behind. It's like, you are no longer who you were before. You don't have a backup plan. And I think a lot of people, we're taught, right? Practical. We're taught to have a backup plan. We're taught to have a, but again, God's math isn't mathing, you know, it's, you don't want the, and when there's a backup plan, when there's a fallback option, that, you know, that's not complete trust and faith in God. It's like, I trust God to step into that, but just in case, you know, I'm going to have this farm equipment to come back to. I'm going to make sure my cousin's feeding all the oxen. So when I get back, when this thing with Elijah doesn't work out, I'm going to go back to, you know, or if I don't like the new world, I can hop back in the boat and travel back to where I came from, type of situation. And God, again, God is asking for that complete and total commitment to, there's that word again, trust and obey.
And I, you know, I think for all of us, you know, we might think the big picture, and I want our listeners not to go and think, you know, okay, massive. because sometimes God speaks into the to the small moments. You know, sometimes it's a circumstance. Maybe it's a job.
Yeah.
God wants you to work in a different place, and you're the pay's so good, and you've been struggling with adjusting your life to what God wants you to do because you're in a job that you make really, really good money. Maybe it's a home situation. Maybe it is financial, you know, as you mentioned, it also could be relationships, you know, maybe it's family and friends, and maybe, you know, like you mentioned, sometimes these decisions that we make, that means we have to adjust ourselves. So, you know, I know a lot of young people that are like, man, I want to follow God, but I don't want to move away from mama. You know, and I'm not willing to, I mean, and when they say move away from mama, they're not talking about moving to Russia. They're talking about moving to, like, you know, Indiana.
The state
You know, and I think those are things, okay, am I willing to make those adjustments? But, you know, but I think even smaller ways are thinking, you know, sometimes the way we think, Blackaby gives an illustration of Peter and how Peter as a Jewish man had to make adjustments to how he viewed the Gentiles. Yeah. And how he actually ate with the Gentiles and something he would have never done prior to God stepping him into that world and saying, Peter, you got to adjust. Yeah. And Peter had to make these massive adjustments to the way he did life. And sometimes we, you know, we change our thinking on things, and it's not, I'm not talking about sinful to unsinful or vice versa. I'm just talking about the, maybe the method in which we do things or the way we've historically done things or the traditional way we've always done things. You know, but there's all kinds of ways.
Adjustments.
So we're not just thinking about packing up your home and moving to, you know, Ecuador. We're really thinking about the smaller ways to adjusting my thinking to be willing to move with God or my commitments or my actions, you know, all of these ways, our belief systems, you know, it's just aligning ourselves with God and adjusting ourselves to God and surrendering our ways to God so that we're able to act and God is able to use us in ways that we really never dreamed about.
And, you know, it's really obvious when you go to a foreign country, how ingrained some of our thinking is as Americans, you know, and the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we, you know, greet
the American
people,
way,
the American way, and just accept us, even the thinking of accept me as I am type of a thing. We see it all the time with groups that we're like, hey, culturally, this is the way we do things. And so there's people, that are, oh, absolutely. We'll dress differently or we'll adjust, you know, we'll greet people. I'm not normally a hugger, but if this person expects me, Guatemalan expects me to kiss them on the cheek or, you know, these type of adjustments and you can kind of see it. And you're like, okay, if we can't adjust our thinking or maybe even just the way we dress, you know, how are we going to adjust the bigger things that God's calling me to step into? But so many times we don't want to give up, our style or our way of life or our this or our that. And I think you brought up an excellent point just in the way we think is one of those issues. When, like you said, Paul said, you know, this is things that Paul would have never done it for traditionally, you know, as a traditional Jewish man. And I think of so many times the way Americans would be like, well, we don't do it that way. Well, you know, you're in a foreign country now, so let's adjust. Or we don't say those things, or we don't do it that like that. And those are some things that could hold you back from a relationship. Hey, go speak to that person. They don't look like what I look like. Well, adjust your thinking, you know, and so I think, that's one of the things. You're right. No, we're not. This message or this chapter is not necessarily talking about you just burning your house down and moving to a foreign country. It might even be harder. I think I would rather burn my house down than to wear a long skirt, you know, to church anymore, you know, whatever it is. But if it requires opening up your eyes to, am I so ingrained in some of my thought processes or some of my thinking that I can't listen when God's saying, okay, talk to this person or spend time, create this relationship or change jobs in this aspect.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think sometimes there's another piece of this as well. And that is sometimes that adjusting to God is waiting on God. And, yes. You know, I'm the world's worst at this because I really want things to, you know, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And, but sometimes it's even in the waiting of adjusting to God's timing on things.
Right. Yeah.
And okay, what does it look like to be patient in this? And what does it look like to wait on God's perfect timing in this and, or not get ahead of God? And, you know, we could tell a gazillion stories about a gazillion different situations where, you know, I know so many young women because of, of being single myself, where so many women have come to me and shared their stories. You know, I was single so long, I got panicky. I rushed into a wedding that I didn't really think was the right thing, but I really wanted to be married. And now I'm in a mess.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, we rush ahead of God. We're not willing to be patient and wait on him and let him make the adjustments that are needed. And so I'm not even willing to adjust my time schedule to his. I'm not willing to, you know, and I think that, you know, in arrogance, it's so arrogant for us because we're really kind of looking at the God of the universe saying, look, you know, you're late. And we were supposed to have done that last week. And where are you? And don't you love me anymore? And it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. Can, you know, God knows best. Can we not adjust our time and our, you know, our treasures and our lives
plans.
And our things. We adjust those to what God has for us because we understand that the end result of that is so much better for our lives. What God has for us is so much better. And if we really believe that, we would be patient. I mean, I know people who have gone to unbelievable lengths to get tickets to certain concerts or to be able to do certain things. And they've waited forever in line to be able to get that thing or to that, you know, whatever. And it's like, they were so willing to adjust their entire lives and be incredibly patient to be able to get this thing. And then they say, well, I can't wait on God. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You know, if you can adjust your life to getting a concert ticket, and do go to incredible lengths to make it all work down, then we should adjust our lives even when it comes to God's timing.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, wait a minute, we will wait if that's what was required to see you work here.
Yeah. And we will sit in this moment of inaction because some of the things that I'm working on right now, just in my own life, is managing some inaction. Some, you know, things are going, you know, things are moving. And, you know, but because of where we live in our ministry or where, you know, where our phases are, there are some blocks of, or some open moments where I'm like, do I just fill this with ministry or do I fill this with action or do I fill this with, with stuff or, tasks or jobs, or am I creating, am I just willing to sit in this, you know, in this kind of a pause, you know? And so am I willing, or do I want to just fill it with, okay, let's do this or let's do that. And, you know, and do I trust that God really knows what he's doing? Because he's, you know, he's not doing anything, you know, he's
right.
Is this right? You know, am I in the right place? Am I, you know, and again, going back to that, the word of God, the prayer, the community, all of this stuff. And, you know, Blackaby's book has kind of created this path for us to realize, okay, now and here comes the next step is this crisis of belief. Now that he's telling us to do something, now look around, what do you need to adjust? What needs to be moved aside? And one of those things, like you said, could be you're not as busy, or you're so used to being busy. Now you're not as busy. What does that mean? Am I still serving God the way I'm supposed to be doing it? And no, you have to adjust that frantic ministry mindset to go into a deeper, peaceful, you know, margin of space, you know, in preparation or something else. But there's a mindset that needs to be adjusted and a timeline.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where our total dependence on God really relies, because I think in our busyness, we equate busyness with accomplishment.
Yeah.
And okay, that means I'm accomplishing something. And sometimes it really could just be like a rat on a wheel. You know, we're just spinning our wheels and we're exhausted, but we're really not going anywhere. And so understanding that, and when we fully depend on God, because it's God's work and it's God's way and it's God's kingdom and it's his glory. And so when you kind of add all that up and you're just like, okay, I get to be a part of this. And, you know, one of the quotes in the back of this chapter, he gives some really cool quotes. And there's one quote that I just, David Livingston made this quote, and I think it ties so coolly into what we're talking about right now. I just want to read this quote, because if you don't know who David Livingston was, he was a medical missionary in Africa, and his life was just, I mean, in fact, you can still go to, in fact, I've been there. You can still go today. They've named, you can go to Livingston. You can go to the places where he was, he had such an influence in the country. But this is his quote, and listen to this, Allison, because it's so good. "Forbid that we should ever consider the holding of a commission from the King of Kings a sacrifice, so long as other men esteem the service of an earthly government as an honor. I am a missionary, heart and soul. God himself had only one son, and he was a missionary and a physician. A poor, poor imitation I am, or wish to be, but in this service I hope to live. In it I wish to die." And I love this quote because I think that very beginning of it is what grabs my attention. And that is, how dare we say that being commissioned to be an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is somehow a sacrifice.
A demotion. Yeah.
If we were called to be an ambassador to the United States, we would call that an honor.
We
would say, what an honorable thing that you, everybody would be so proud. They would be cheering for you. You are an ambassador to the United States of America. And yet we are called to be ambassadors to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that means we adjust our lives. You know, an ambassador for the United States adjusts their life. They move to another country, they live in a new house, and they represent the United States. They do things differently. We will do the same. But what is God calling us in our own lives, whether it's in your little town that you live in or whether your big city where you live? God may not be asking you to move across the world. What he may be asking you to do is just the way you think, or to wait or to be patient in this moment, or to surrender your ways and your thoughts and your ideas to his ways. And I just think, why would we not count that an honor to be able to make that adjustment for him, understanding that when we do these, only God things happen, like miraculous things happen. Only these miracles, we get to be a part of that. Otherwise we sit on the outside of that and we don't get to experience that. And we can only hear about what other people experience.
Right. And so, you know, are we willing to get rid of our comfort or our mindset or our time, or, you know, and some people, and I feel like some people go their whole lives not experiencing that part, because they were, you know, just holding on to something so tightly, and that, you know, just letting it, being able to let it go. And my mom used to say, we always used to hold all of our possessions just kind of open-handed, very loosely, because, you know, we were sitting there talking the other day about, you know, our china and our, you know, the things that she, you know, she didn't register for China because she knew that one day that she would be a missionary. And, you know, she, 20 years later, she became a missionary, and now she's got, and it's just talking about possessions or talking about, you know, family or mindset or thinking, we're, you know, sitting with my parents out on this property and watching them, you know, be on their, what would be their fifth tour of, you know, being a missionary, down here. And understanding what our family looks like and how close our family has become because of some things that we were willing to, some mindsets we were willing to, my parents especially, were willing to get rid of, or to put aside, or to lay aside those weights. And then talking about what we're seeing, you know, kind of the fruit of what we're seeing and being able to enjoy this miraculous, sitting on this property, because my dad, you know, had this vision, and my husband had this vision, and being able to sit here and live and visit, you know, with each other. And I needed coffee, and I went over to mom's house because I didn't have coffee, those type of things, you know, but enjoying that as part of sitting on, we're literally sitting on a miracle, and being able to understand that. And if people aren't enjoying that, maybe look around and say, hey, what have I not been willing to give up all this time? I remember, Gary's testimony as one of the missionaries, was visiting his church, and he said, you know, if parents, are you willing, if your children are called to the missionary, to the mission field, well, I'm asking parents to come forward and say, we will be willing to support them and send them off, you know, because sometimes, yeah. So many times the parents are the ones who are like, rah. And we know families like that. And Gary says he was in high school. He was looking around, sitting with his youth group friends, and he was watching his parents at the altar praying. And he's like, I don't know who you're praying for. It's probably my little brother, my little sister, you know, not me. You're not praying for them, you know? And understanding that moment, that's what the mindset of being able to say, you know, if my children are called, I'm going to support them and I'm going to change my mindset or my goal of, you know, being a grandmother, you know, sitting on the porch with all my grandchildren, you know, just down the road, can, you know, covered with grandchildren. Am I willing to give up that dream or that thought process? And it's an interesting testimony.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think, you know, some things that you just said while you were talking there, you're talking about what the joy and the enjoyment of being able to, you know, to sit and enjoy and the fun that your family's having together. And I think this is maybe a missing ingredient. I think there's a kind of a thought in our minds sometimes. Well, if I surrender, okay, negative word. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it in our minds, negative word. And I, you know, and I obey negative word many times.
And I leave this behind.
Yes. I'm going to have to sacrifice negative word. and I'm going to have to do all of these things. And so therefore it's going to be miserable to follow God.
Yeah.
And then, hey, we do get to go to heaven and it'll be fun over there.
Right.
You know, and it's that kind of mentality when I guess I have to ask this question. Are you really having a blast where you're at right now?
Yeah.
Holding on to everything you know, we're gripping so tightly.
Yeah.
I mean, is it really, you know, and many of us would say, well, no, it's not really great right now, but it'll be worse if I let it go or those kind of things. And I think sometimes we just think God's going to come in and just wipe us out when I've had so much fun serving Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to do so many things I would have never gotten to do following after Christ. I mean, I got to ride elephants in India and, you know, mm-hmm. I can just go through the list of places that I've been able to go and things I've been able to see. I've been able to look at Everest with my eyeball, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just been one of those things where in the world would I ever be able to do those things if I hadn't been following Jesus?
Right.
And the wonderful life. And so no matter what life you choose, there are heartache, pain, difficulties, and there's hardship. It doesn't matter if you desire and divine your own life forward mm-hmm. and you devise it, or if you turn it over to God and follow after him, there's going to be hardships. But what we know is there's going to be those miraculous moments and the joy, and God just brings it all around. And I know in my life, he did in so many ways. I wanted to coach and I wanted the dreams of so many of to play and so many of that. And, you know, if you've heard my testimony, you know that my background story, and yet God gave me that plus more. And I think we have to realize that God does not intend things for our bad. He's not looking to destroy our lives. He's not looking to make things miserable. He's a good father who longs to do good things for his children. And that sometimes means, in fact, no, it doesn't sometimes mean, it all the time means he knows better than you know.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to reflip these words around. Surrender is not a bad thing. Sacrifice is not a bad thing. Obedience is not a bad thing. It's actually, it's a decision to allow the best thing to happen.
Right.
You know, and if we can do that, I think it changes our mindset and it gets us into a place where only God knows what the cool things will happen to us and to our families in those moments.
Exactly. And this brings us back to Psalm 1, doesn't it?
It just does.
Brings us back to looking, what am I going to focus on and what am I leaving behind? And that's what keeps us rooted deep.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're so glad that you enjoyed us today. We're really loving going through this study and I hope that you will apply this. You know, we're not talking about this in kind of a, you know, academic sense. But we really want it to be personal application in all of our lives, where we just sit and think about some of the things we've talked about today. What adjustment do you need to make right now, presently? Is God asking an adjustment from you? Have you been balking at it? You know, in what areas are you not walking in obedience? All of those kind of things. Ask yourself those questions today. Maybe reread the chapter one more time. And just think about, all right, Lord, I just want to, you know, I think it does all of us good just to kind of get before the Lord and say, I just surrender it all again. And I surrender it all again. And I want to walk your way and in your direction for the rest of my days. And I think that's where we really find the greatest life we could imagine is tied up in that.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us today. We hope next time you'll continue to join us on the Rooted Deep podcast. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.